the saddest person on the planet is a believer in Jesus Christ who is stagnated in their walk with Christ. They're not moving forward anymore. Maybe they've gotten tripped up. And last week we looked at the importance of staying on course. Do you remember what we talked about it? How we are in a race. We are to run the race that is set before us and stay on course. Do you remember how we talked about how God has a signature course mapped out for you? You may not like the course, but it's the course that God has for you as an individual. And we talked about enduring the training. We talked about seizing the opportunity that God gives us to move forward in faith. Do you remember how we defined opportunity last week? Remember, opportunity is the intersection of two things: urgency and ability. Did you sense any urgency in that video? The greatest need in America is for the church of God to be revived so that the glory of God can be seen in the world. We are living in darker and darker times, and yet in the midst of that, God is shining His light through churches who take God's word seriously and who are longing and seeking God to breathe life back into the church. That's what we want to be about. So today we want to talk about moving forward, not just as individuals. God has an individual course for each of us, but God has a course for our church collectively to move forward. And so today we want to talk about what it's going to take and what it's going to mean to move forward. And as I do that, I just want to think about the past here for just a minute. Think about the fact that in January of 2007, a group of three couples got together and said, hey, what if we could start a church in Granger? And some more families joined that group, grew to about 13 people. And in the summer of 2008, myself and my wife became number 14 and 15 to that little group. God grew our group to about 80. We launched this church in this building on February the 8th, 2009. 250 people showed up. We still have no idea where those people came from. But they showed up as worshipers. A lot of them are well-wishers. They went back to their churches the next Sunday, and we started with about 150 people that next week. On the third Sunday, God sent us this dude with a faux hawk and a guitar. And it was a total blizzard going on. Nobody else was in church that day. But Micah showed up, and at the end of that service, I asked this question. I said, how many of you think God built him to be a worship leader in a church? And you did what? You cheered. And I did too. And I said, well, there's only one thing preventing him from being the worship leader at this church, and that is some money. We're broke. We have no money. We spent it all on this equipment, and we got any money. We can't hire another staff member right now. That afternoon, I got an email from someone who was attending our church for the very first time, not a part of the core group. They just happened to show up that day, and they sent me an email, and they said, I want to commit to give you $10,000 to get the faux hawk here every Sunday, okay? And I said, absolutely. So I called up Micah. I said, Micah, I didn't have any money. I couldn't offer you a position, but I got $2,000 a month for 5 months if you'll get here now to be our worship leader. He said, it's more than I'm making now at Frito-Lay. I'll come. And so they relocated. They came from Lynchburg, Virginia. They plugged in. They lived in the basement of one of our couples for 6 months while they had a baby, and now God has brought them on, and we pay him now, and God's raised the budget, and we're so thrilled to have God building our staff. God, in just the last, just since January, just think, what is this? This is like we're getting ready to start June, aren't we? Just think what has happened in our church since December. Did you know that in December, in the fall, we were averaging around 290 people in church? 6 months later, we're averaging 390 people in church, okay? So welcome to the 100 that showed up. My name's Trent. Glad to have you. And we're excited about people folding in and catching the vision. We're urgent about people folding in and drawing near to God. We've started so many ministries, the compassion ministry. Our ladies went down to Hope Ministries just last month and did a ladies' night out for the ladies down there at Hope Ministries. We're forming a team to send to the Romanian Harvest Bible Chapel mission trip to resource that church, to build the orphanage there so that they can have a greater impact there. So much is going on. Just last month, several of you have met John Brown, our friend. Downtown John Brown, who is a wonderful pastor, has a heart for the Word of God, and he gets the gospel, and he's ministering down there, also at Hope Ministries. He pastors this little church down there. Their church was, their facility was absolutely falling apart. And I had such a burden when I went into this building. There's big leaks in his building. He's got this food pantry that they give food away downtown, and just big leaks and moldy walls. We put a new roof on their building, okay? As a church, we did that together, okay? We resourced his church. We want to be a light to the community. God is using you and your commitment to this church to move us forward in faith. I don't know if you noticed, just a couple of weeks ago, James McDonald, who's the founder of Harvest, has a daily radio program. It's called Walk in the Word. When we started this church, we thought, man, how great would it be to get Walk in the Word on the radio, a daily outlet for God's Word, similar teaching, similar passion, same pillars, saturating this community on the radio. It wasn't available. And so many of these churches that have been planted, they've been planted because there's a group of people that have heard James on the radio and said, man, we want that kind of teaching in our community. We've never had that here in Granger. 2 weeks ago, guess what happened? Walk in the Word shows up on the radio. We've been praying for that. We've been asking God. I've been making phone calls trying to figure out a way to make that happen. So many shut doors. God just completely opened that door. James and this kind of teaching is now saturating our community. So people hear James on the radio. They go to the website. I wonder if there's anything like that in our community. Boom, Harvest Granger is available, and people show up. Anybody heard that radio program in the last couple of weeks? Yeah, it's there. It's 11 o'clock on WFRN 104.7. 5 days a week, you can hear it. God's doing so much. God's allowed us to add staff to our church. Jeff Whitlow is now our associate pastor, and in 30 days, it's just been wonderful to see all the different things and the momentum that we are gaining. So much has happened, not the least of which is what happened in January of this year. You know, if you've been around for a while, we were privileged to adopt Cornerstone Community Church as our own, and that family is now our family, and as one church, we're moving forward, and so many great things are being given to us as a church. It's time for us as a church to move forward, but listen, we don't want to move forward in faith. Do you realize it is possible for all of the things that I just outlined to happen, and listen, God not be pleased with any of it? You say, now how could God not be pleased? All this great stuff, all the momentum, you were just getting me so excited, and you're telling me God is not pleased or possibly could not be pleased with some of that? It's true, and I want you to see it in Hebrews chapter 11. We need to ask the question this morning, are we as a church pleasing God? Is this pleasing God, what's happening in our church? How do you please God? Well, Hebrews 11, 6 tells us, it says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So what is the only way that we can please God? Answer from this text: only what we do in faith pleases God. Do you realize how many things people try to please God by and God is not impressed with their faith? Do you realize that the very purpose that you exist is to please God? The only reason I exist is to bring pleasure to God. He created me. I exist because he exists to bring glory to himself. The only reason I exist is to show his glory to other people so that they can know he exists. I exist to show others he exists. That's the only reason I exist. It's the only reason you exist. It's the only reason this church exists, is for the pleasure of God. So the question is, how is God pleased? God is pleased when we do what we do in faith. Do you know it's possible for two people to be living side by side, making very similar choices, one of them please God and one of them not please God? Let me show it to you here for a second. Rich, come here. You're going to be a sermon illustration. You didn't know that, but you are. Come here. And Doug, need you over here. Now, which one of you wants to be the guy that pleases God, and which one of you don't? Okay, good. You met that. Okay, now you stand over here. You be the guy that pleases God. And Doug, unfortunately today, you're the guy that's not going to please God. All right, so here's two guys, similar. I mean, they're in church today. Did you know that Rich can come to church and please God, and Doug can come to church and not please God? So here's Doug. Doug scrapes himself out of bed on Sunday morning, and he's grumbling, complaining, I work all week, and here I am, I got to go to church, and they make me set this stuff up and drive that trailer all the time, and I got so many responsibilities, and those kids over there in children's ministry, sometimes they don't listen, and I guess I'll do it again. And here's Rich. Rich is over here. He's like, man, what a privilege. It's the greatest day of the week. I'm coming to church to be with my faith family. And I'm going to get encouraged. Where is my Bible? I've got my Bible with me. God, you're going to speak to me. God, I want to hear from you today. God, I want to obey you today in faith. Two guys in church, one pleasing God, one not pleasing God. What's the difference? Faith. Faith. Rich did what he did by faith. Doug, unfortunately, did not. Here's two guys. They're both married. Here's Doug. Doug's like, man, our marriage was so great early on, and my wife was so sweet to me, and now, you know, she got these kids, and she's busy, and she works this other job, and sorry, Debbie. And it's like, man, she's just like, she doesn't cook the way mom cooks, and, I know it's wrong to get a divorce, and so I'm not going to get a divorce. And, maybe we'll go to some counseling, and all right, I'll do that. Well, here's Rich. Rich is over here. He's like, man, my wife's not perfect, but, you know, she's the wife God gave me, and God's perfect, and God gives good gifts, and so I'm going to receive her by faith. I'm going to receive her every day as a gift from you, God. And those really annoying habits that she has sometimes, you know, God, I'm going to need your grace. I'm going to need your grace to operate the way that you want me to. Two guys, both married, both guys not getting a divorce. One is pleasing him. One is not. What's the difference? Answer? Faith. Here's two teenagers. Now imagine them 30 years younger, okay? They're in middle school, all right? They go to middle school. It's the final week of the year. And here is Doug. Doug hates school. Doug hates his teachers. He's got to get through this to get his degree and get a job. And so he's grunting it out. And yeah, he gives a little effort to study, and man, but he is not looking forward to this. And it's, God, get me out of this, right? Well, here's 13-year-old Rich. And Rich, he didn't like school any more than Doug. But you know what? It's God's assignment for him during this season of life. God, I don't like biology. I don't understand anything about biology. But I know that you created life, and you know how this stuff works better than my biology teacher. So God, help me to learn how you created the universe. And God, I'm going to worship you as I learn this stuff. This is fuel for worship. And God, help me to be a witness in this class. The purpose in school is not just to get the test done. It is to show your glory. God, use me. I'm such an unworthy example. But God, I want to walk today pleasing you. One middle schooler not pleasing God. Another middle schooler pleasing God. What's the difference? Faith. Thank you, guys. And next time, we'll switch you guys around. What's the difference? Two people doing the same thing, making the same choices, similar life. One's pleasing God. One's not pleasing God. What's the difference? Faith. So are you pleasing God? You can only please God. It is impossible to please God without what? Faith. So are you exercising faith? Are you moving forward in faith? Are we as a church moving forward in faith? Now, remember our definition of faith. Faith is believing God's word In order to believe it, you got to know it. In order to know it, you got to read it. So don't try to convince me you're walking or moving forward in faith if you are not into this book, listening to God's word. God, what do you have for me today? Give me your perspective on biology. Give me your perspective on my wife. Give me your perspective on why I am in this universe. If you're not putting this in your head, it's going to be real hard for you to believe what you do not know. It's going to be real hard for you to know what you do not read and study. Faith is believing God's word and acting on it. It's not just memorizing passages, checking off boxes. It is acting on what I read. Don't say that you are a person of faith. If you come in here, take all the notes, and go out of here unchanged, unaffected, not transformed by the word that you heard from God. It is acting upon it. What happens in this building is secondary to what happens after you leave this building to act out what you have received from God. No matter how I feel, I don't feel like studying. Are you a person of feelings? Are you a person of faith? I don't feel like giving money. Are you a person of faith or are you a person of feeling? I don't feel like loving my wife. Are you a person of faith or are you a person of feeling? No matter how I feel, knowing that God promises a good result. That is what it means to be a person of faith. Now, faith is not stagnant. Faith is urgent. Faith is not passive. Faith is active. Some of us would say, well, yeah, I'm a person of faith. But you're not doing anything that requires faith. Have you put yourself in a position that requires you to act on faith? You see, some of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, it costs them something to be a person of faith. To stand up and boldly proclaim, I'm believing God no matter what it costs. It doesn't cost us very much to be a person of faith in America. So, is your faith putting you in a position where you have to believe God? Faith is putting yourself in a position where if God doesn't move, you're finished. How many of us are even putting ourselves in a position that requires us to believe God? Some of us just kind of lock our kids in the basement. We don't want them to, you know, get contaminated by the world and, you know, just, you know, don't want to affect them in any way. Listen, get them out there and put them in a position where they have to be a person of faith. Now, you have to train them in faith. You got to give them the word of God. You got to strengthen spiritual muscle so that they can act on what they believe. And the same goes for mom and dad. Faith is putting yourself in a position where if God doesn't move, if God doesn't come through, you're finished. Here's another thing. Faith is attempting something so big that if God doesn't come through, it's destined to fail. Faith is attempting something so big, it is destined to fail without Him. How much of that are you getting done? How much faith does it really require for you to live the life that you're living right now? Now, here back in the passage, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So here's the big question. The question we started with, what is it that pleases God? Answer? Wrong. It's not faith that pleases God. That's not what this verse says. Faith is only valuable because it is the vehicle that delivers you to God. Look at it. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What pleases Him? For whoever would draw near to God must believe He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. You know what pleases God? What pleases God is you drawing near to Him. Faith is not what pleases God. Faith is the vehicle to what pleases God. Some of you are not getting this. Let me put it this way. Andrea and I, before we were married, we had a long distance relationship, okay? I was traveling around doing all these meetings in different churches all over the country. She was home in Huntsville, Alabama, and during the 7-month engagement period before our wedding, we saw each other 3 times. Okay? And there were special occasions when she would buy a plane ticket and she would fly to where I was. I would meet her there in the airport, and as she would come down the long corridor, and I would see her for the first time in months as she would get nearer and nearer to me, do you know what was going through my head? How much I loved that airplane. I was just having these great visions of how beautiful those wings were and what capacity it was. I was thinking of the owner, the CEO of American Airlines, and how I'd write him a love letter thanking him for building this beautiful airplane. Is that what I did, yes or no? No. As she was getting nearer and nearer to me, what was it that pleased me? The airplane or her? Her. And she still pleases me. When I come home from a long day at work, I still have a 7-year-old that thinks I am the greatest thing God ever created. I drive that car home. I hit the garage door opener and it makes the rattling sound in the house. My 7-year-old will bolt out of the door, come racing down the driveway. She will throw herself on top of the car and start kissing the car and writing love notes to the car. Is that what she does? No, what does she do? She's excited about me, and she wraps herself around my leg, and, Daddy, I'm so glad to see you, and tell me about your day, and let me tell you about what I've been going through. And she's excited to see me. Do you remember, there's a story in the Gospels of Jesus when he came into Jerusalem the last week of his life. And he told the disciples to do an interesting thing. He said, I want you to go into town. There's a donkey tied up there. I want you to untie it. I want you to bring me the donkey. And Jesus rode this borrowed donkey into town. And do you remember what the crowds did on Palm Sunday? What did they do? They started waving palm branches around, and they started singing Hosanna. And then as Jesus dismounted from the donkey, they all gathered around the donkey and started bowing down, and they started cleaning the donkey, and they started kissing the donkey. Is that what they did? No, what did they do? They worshiped Jesus, not the deliverer of Jesus. You know what the problem is in so many of our churches? Dangerous churches. We worship the faith and miss the God, the object of our faith. We say, if you'll just believe strong enough, if you'll just wrap yourself around, if you just have these positive mental attitudes, you gotta believe, you can ask God to do anything and he'll do it. And you're worshiping the faith and you're missing the God. And so we don't want to make that mistake. We want to believe that God is moving us, but we have to act on his word. You see, people start setting dates for rapture when they start worshiping the faith and miss the God, the object of their faith. So, what is it that pleases God? It is you drawing near to him. Now, notice here, in order to draw near to him, you have to believe two things. What's the first thing? Look at the text. What's the first thing you have to believe to draw near to God? Say it. You have to believe he exists. The second thing is you have to believe he rewards. Okay? Now, think about that for a moment. He exists, he rewards. There is a huge gap between those two beliefs, right? Some of you are here today and you say, I believe God exists. I believe God exists. And that makes me a person of faith. No, it doesn't. Did you know that atheism is a learned behavior? Everything within you, God created to have a longing, a connection to draw near to him. Someone that says, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, they learned that somewhere. They got some bad information. Maybe the tragedies and circumstances of life taught them there is no God. But every person deep down in their soul that God created them to know God. The Bible says there is no excuse for those. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. And so it's foolish. It's a learned foolish behavior to believe there is no God. Everybody deep down on the inside believes he exists. Now let me illustrate it this way here again. And I got to use another sermon illustration here. And John, the other two guys wanted, I asked them if they wanted to be the pleaser of God or the non-pleaser of God. Today, just for illustration purposes, you are God, okay? So just think, representing God, that John is not God, but for illustration purposes, See, here's God. And so here's me, a person that's trying to, it's like, okay, I'm a person of faith. I'm a person of faith. And I've got to believe that he exists. Well, I believe he exists. But this is the way that some people believe that God exists. I believe he exists. I believe he exists. And I believe he exists. What's the problem? Am I anywhere near what I believe exists? Hey, God, we got this great relationship, right? We have this coexistence going on, right? But the problem is I don't believe in God enough to where it is actually drawing near. What draws me near, according to Scripture, what would we say? What draws me near to God? What delivers me to God? Faith. And so drawing near to someone requires faith. And I draw near believing not only that they exist, but they reward. What is the reward for my faith? Again, here's a heretical teaching in the church. We believe that God is the dispenser of good gifts. And so we come to him because we need stuff. We need money. We need a good marriage. We need our kids to be straightened out. We need a good test. We need a good grade on the final in biology. And so we come to say, God, I need this reward. I've been faithful to you. You got to give me this reward. That's not the reward. He is the reward. God himself is the reward. Thank you, John. You can go sit down. You are no longer God. And that's the thing, is when you draw near to God for salvation, he rewards you with forgiveness and he is pleased. When you draw near to God in times of fear, he rewards you with security and he is pleased. When you draw near to God, trusting him with your finances, he rewards you with his provision and he is pleased. God is pleased when you draw near to him. So we can make a conclusion. All right, here's the bottom line of the whole message. All right, and I want you to say it with me. I want you to memorize this thought here for a second. The more people far from God who draw near to God, the more God is pleased. Let me say that again. Based on this passage of Scripture, based on the authority of God's Word, the more people who are far from God draw near to God, the more God is pleased. Can we say that together? The more people far from God draw near to God, the more God is pleased. Do you believe that? If that is true, as a church, we have to have incredible urgency about making this a place where people far from God can draw near to God. Why? Because our church exists for the pleasure of God. More people drawing near to God, more pleasure God receives. And having said that, we have an opportunity. Based on everything else we've said, we've talked about the opportunity. In January, we merged. We adopted Cornerstone Community Church. And along with that came an incredible opportunity. There is a 16,000 square foot facility sitting over there that we have begun using for all of our midweek activities. Our offices are there. There's incredible ministry taking place there almost every day of the week. Except one. What day would that be? Sunday. And the reason that there's no ministry taking place there on Sunday is because we need the 25,000 square foot facility that we have here at North Point at the school to house what God is doing. So it leaves us scratching our head. God, what are you up to? How do we steward this resource that you've given? God, what an incredible opportunity we have. And so our leaders, our elders have been praying and thinking and discussing and on the phone with other harvests and trying to figure out, God, what do you want us to do with this? I want to let you know about the opportunity that we believe God has put in front of us, okay? Right now, there's a 16,000 square foot facility over there. You can put about 300 seats in that 3,000 square, it's a 4,000 square foot worship center over there right now. We had 318 people in there on Good Friday, and it was tight. And there's about room for 155 children in the higher ground ministries and all the educational space over there. There's 210 parking spaces, just to let you know. Here is what we believe could happen to that building. Three phases here. Just think about phase one. That's all we're really talking about this morning is phase one. We believe that we could add 3,000 square feet to that 4,000 square foot worship center and double the seating capacity. We're going to renovate 9,000 square feet there, all of the auditorium, all of the foyer area, the commons area, and we can add some portable units to give us about 1,000 more square feet of children's ministry space. And the result is we could have a 600-seat auditorium, capacity for 545 people in the commons area, and room for about 197 kids in higher ground, okay? And as you think about long term, we want to think that, you know, there's going to be more than 600 people showing up here one day, and so we don't want to do anything in phase one that's going to limit us in phase two and three. And so we're thinking, you know, we're going to need more office space, we're going to need adult classrooms, we're going to need another parking lot, and eventually we might even need a bigger auditorium than that, and maybe the auditorium now is the foyer area for the next one. Those are just some dreams that we have out there. And I want to kind of give you a vision for what we're talking about. Again, an urgent opportunity to do to move forward in faith here. And so I want you to watch here for a moment. We're going to see two different videos. One is the long-term master plan. This is phase two and phase three of what the building might look like if all of that happened somewhere out there. The second part of the video is the actual phase one, the opportunity that we have right now just to add the 3,000 square foot auditorium and what that would look like. And so watch this. Did you notice those big, thick, padded chairs in that auditorium? Some of you are like lusting over those chairs. It's like, so I know the question that you're asking right now, because it's the same question we've been asking for 6 months, trying to figure out, God, what do you want us to do and how's this going to happen? We know how it's going to happen. It's going to happen by faith. But the question is, how much is that going to cost in order to do all that? And that's what I would love to share with you here and how we believe it may happen. That's kind of what it would look like there, kind of a master plan. And by the way, you don't need to write any of this down. We're going to give you on your, in just a moment, we're going to give you something that looks like this that has all this information in there. And you can just pray over every single word, encourage you to do that as a family as you pray about how you can exercise faith in making this happen. So let me tell you what this is going to cost. In order to do what we just saw, phase one, okay, now forget about phase two or three or whatever that first thing was. We're just talking about adding 3,000 square foot and creating a 600-seat auditorium out of what is now a 300-seat auditorium, okay? So that's going to cost about $850,000. You say, $850,000? How in the world? What is it? Where's all that money go? I could probably knock it out for about $150,000. Yeah, you probably could. And that's why we're not asking you to do it. So we're going to get some pros that know what they're doing here. We've got a great construction team that we've got a great relationship with. And they're going to do it right. And let me tell you how we can get there. Now, this is just awesome. Okay, now think about this. Did you know that right now, in our accounts as a church, there is $250,000 sitting there waiting to be spent on this project? You say, where'd that come from? That came from you as you, week by week, have given faithfully and generously. We have not spent all that has come in. What a concept in America, huh? Wow, spend less than you take in. Somebody could get a clue about that. And so what we've done is we've just kind of moved some stuff over every week, just kind of stacking it up. You see it there in the bulletin every week. Some of you have been asking that question. What is this thing here, expansion and building thing? That's what it is. It just kind of accumulates through the thing. So right now, there's $250,000 ready to be thrown at the $850,000 that gets us there. So somebody that's taken a final in math this week, what would that leave? $600,000. And so this is what is needed before that can take place. Let me give you some of the timing on how this could happen. Today, we are beginning a campaign called Forward in Faith. That's May 22nd, 2011. I want to ask you over the next 4 weeks to be praying and asking what part God would have you to play about that. In that, and then on June the 19th, 4 weeks from today, that's Father's Day, is Commitment Sunday. And that's the day that we're going to look at all what's come in, and we're going to count it all up, and if it equals 850, then we're going to move forward. If not, we're going to wait. That's just the way it works, okay? And the earliest possible construction date, if June 19th, we have all the money, that pulls the trigger, August 8th could start the construction, and then we could move in first Sunday in the new facility, February 12th, 2012. Anybody know what's significant about that date? Third anniversary. So we move in. 2 months later, April the 8th, 2012, is Easter. And I can believe there would be 1,000 people in the auditorium on Easter Sunday, 2012, if we have a place for them. Why? Because God is pleased when people who are far from God draw near to Him, God gets more pleasure. That's the reason we do what we do. So, here's some things I want you to consider. And again, you'll see all this in the booklet that we're going to give you. I want you to notice there, do you see the number 125 on this table? You see that number? That is the current number of people that we would consider our regular givers around here, okay? Now, obviously, we have more people that come on Sunday, but there are 125 people that are regular givers to our church. I don't know who those people are. I never see their records. I have no idea. They won't even let me see them. I don't know. But we do know the number. And in order to be a regular giver around here, you have to give 4 gifts in 12 months. All right? That's pretty lame. But that's the way we calculated 125 people. 125 people have given at least 4 gifts in 12 months, okay? So you throw all that in together and you say, okay, some people can't give much, but they're faithful, they're generous, and they give sacrificially, regularly, cheerfully to what God is doing here. Other people give more. To whom much is given, much is required, and so people can give at different levels. It's not equal giving, but it's equal sacrifice that God is looking for. And sacrifice is not determined by what you give. Sacrifice is determined by what's left over after you give, right? So people can give different things. And notice that that table, different people giving different amounts, could add up to about $400,000. You say, I thought we needed 6. We do. And that number may equal 6. It may equal 1 million. We don't know what people are going to give. But what we're asking people to do, we're asking everyone, listen carefully, to give in 2 different ways. Number one, we're asking you to give something out of your assets. So you look at everything you have, everything that God's blessed you with, and ask God, God, what do you want? It all belongs to you. Maybe a better prayer is this: God, what do you want me to keep? Because everything else, it all belongs to you. And so give out of your asset. The second way we want you to pray about giving is this: give something out of your income and make a pledge over 3 years to give something monthly, please listen, above your tithe to the church. All right, you're going to wreck the whole budget if you take everything that you're giving now and throw it in the building campaign. All right, we fire Jeff, fire Micah, fire me. We have no staff. We have no ministry going on, but we have a building. Okay, don't do that. All right, so give regularly what you're giving currently, your tithe, but then above and beyond, commit to give something out of your assets, something out of your income. Now, you see the arrow over there. It gets us up to... If $400,000 comes in cash in hand on June 19th, that leaves us with $200,000. We, as an elder team, have decided that God would be pleased for us to be able to finance $200,000 if needed, if necessary, but only if that $200,000 is backed by the pledges of God's people. So listen carefully here. We're not doing anything until we have $650,000 cash in hand. And we're not doing anything until we have the pledges of God's people to back whatever is decided to finance up to $200,000. Okay? So that's where we're going with that. And very quickly here, let me challenge you about some ways that you could give. You can give out of your assets. Liquid assets, checking, savings, stocks, bonds, CDs, IRAs, just where we get our cash from. God may want you to sell something. God may want you to rob a bank. I don't know. I don't think God would want you to do that. Okay, so don't do that. But give out of your assets. Don't give out of something someone else has. Give out of your assets. And then giving out of your income means that whatever you're going to give, you're not going to be able to spend. So if you've got an income and you know what's coming in, then designate a portion of that. And give out of your faith. And say, God, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't really have much to give here. But God, I can believe that you're going to supply something for me to give. And I want to challenge everybody to do this. Teenagers, Challenge your children. Families, get together and talk about this. Have your family chat and say, what does God want us as a family to do without so that we can build God's kingdom in faith? Now, I'm going to ask the ushers to come. They're going to pass down your aisles this booklet. Please resist the opportunity to browse through every word of it right now. I want about 3 more minutes. We're going to close the service, and then you can feel free to stay all day and read through every part of that book if you would want. As they pass that out, let me share with you this passage of Scripture. Building programs have been a reality for God's people for thousands of years. We are obviously not doing something that God hasn't led other people to do. And way back in the Old Testament, we can read about one of the first building programs for God's church, and it's in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Let me read to you what he said in verses 16 and 17. This is a prayer. After the building program was done, after the project was finished, listen to what Solomon said. O Lord our God, all this abundance we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand. Where do the resources come from, people? God. People are the resource. God is the source. God gives to us so we can give back to him and build his kingdom. So all that we have, all that you have provided in building this house for you, it's come from you. It's all from your hand. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. Does that word pleasure sound familiar to you? It goes right back to where we started in Hebrews chapter 11. What pleases God? What pleases God is people far from him coming near to him so that God gets pleasure. You have tested my heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. Now, please hear me. I totally get that there are some of you right now feeling a little uncomfortable because you're like, man, all the church ever talks about is money. Now, if you've been here for 2 years, is that all we ever talk about? Do we ever really talk about it? We don't really talk about it much. I've preached like 2 sermons in 2 years addressing the issue, okay? So that is just not true. Some of you are right now thinking, you're going to try to extort money out of me. No, please hear me, okay? Everybody pay attention. If you don't want to give, we don't want you to give. God doesn't want your money. God wants you. And when God gets you, God will get your money. The rest of us will testify to that fact, okay? So, the issue is not your money. God doesn't need your money. He wants you. And he wants pleasure from your life. And so, when you think about and pray about, God, what do you want me to give? God wants what is offered freely and joyously to you. You see, there's other people in here today. You are about to bounce out of your seat. You're like, Martha, where is the checkbook? We have got to get in on this. Because we are so excited about what God is doing in this place and what God is doing in our lives. How can we help not give? I mean, we have got to get on board here, okay? So here's the vehicle for making it happen. You have the brochure inside the booklet. There is something that looks like this. Everybody see that? Very simple form. It asks for your name, and it's got 2 opportunities. Remember, we're asking everybody to give something out of your assets and something out of your income, okay? And what we would like you to do is take this home, pray over it as a family, discuss it as couples. In our home, we practice give God the nod. You know what that means? If I go and pray and God tells me a number and Andrea goes and prays and she comes up with a number and Andrea's number is higher, it always is, then we give God the nod, we give the higher amount, okay? So pray it through, ask God specifically what he wants to give in faith. Don't give anything that doesn't require faith. Why? Because God's not pleased with it. Without faith, you can't please him in this, okay? So here's the vehicle. There comes with an envelope. All you have to do is bring the card back any Sunday prior to June 19th. You can put it in the offering bag. You can drop it in the offering box, which is always right back here at the door as you exit the gym. You can always drop it in there. You can bring it by the church office. You can give it to anyone that can get it into the right place. I'm not going to know what you give, but we'll tally the number. And on June 19th, we'll figure out whether we're going to move forward in faith or we're going to wait in faith. I believe both would please God, but we'd be very responsible about how we do this. I know that raises a lot of questions. And if you have questions, the elders are available. Feel free to contact them. We've got some information out on the website that gives you more information. If you are questioning some of the decisions, there's more information out there. You can look around and find that out there. Let me just say this and we'll close. How sad would it be for us to erect a building and fill that building full of a bunch of faithless people? That would not honor God. God would not be pleased by that. That is not what we're going for. How sad would it be for us to get our focus off of the object of our faith and onto the faith or onto the project that we're trying to do without faith? We're not going to let that happen, okay? We're going to come in here. We're going to lift high the name of Jesus. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to get the gospel right. We're going to get the gospel out. And that is going to be where our eyes are. It's not a facility. It is ministry. And it is our maturity in faith that is going to move us forward. Okay? So, let me ask you to bow your heads for a moment. To be honest, I hesitate because my greater burden is for those of you that need to draw near to God. You believe He exists, but you haven't drawn near seeking Him as the reward that you're looking for. You've looked for so many other things. Don't let anything that I've said about some building campaign or money, don't let any of that distract you from the fact that right now, by faith, you can move forward and draw near to God. You say, I don't even know if I want to get close to Him. I'm not even sure I like Him very much. Well, you may have learned some things about God that are just simply not true. God is a rewarder. He is good. He's faithful. Everything your heart longs for, you will find in God. Through faith in His Son, Jesus, that died on that cross to pay the penalty for your sin so you could have access to God. Cry out to Him. Say, God, I don't know much about You. I don't even know if I like You very much. I'm far from You. I admit it. But I want to draw near by faith. And what I know about You, I choose to believe based on Your word. And Father, I pray for those of us who are regular attenders. We're members here at this local congregation. So exciting to know that You are moving throughout the world. There are churches that are coming alive, that are urgently, passionately seeking You for Your glory. We want to be one of those churches. We want this community to know that You are the reward. You have all that we need, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. You are more than enough for all that we need. God, don't let us get distracted. Don't let us get our eyes on brick and mortar and parking lots and padded pews. God, we want You and You alone. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together.